Before I get started, we usually have a summer series on Tuesday mornings. We're going to start that May the 31st. May the 31st, I'll have books here for you to take sometime in the next week or so. But we'll meet about 10 o'clock in the morning for those of you that can and would like to make it. In our songbook, our hymnal, we have a song entitled, Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All. The writer is William Oliver Cooper, and the one that put it together, arranged the melody, is Menzo C. Jones. If you're interested, it's on page 253 in your hymnal. As I sing this sometime, two thoughts ought to come to our mind. When you think about the phrase, heaven will surely be worth it all, and then the words of the song itself, we should think about all the sacrifices that all the Christians throughout the generations have been made because of their faith. And then think about the glories of heaven and what is to come for those that remain faithful. The song talks about the rewards will surely be worth whatever the cost. Heaven will surely be worth it all, worth whatever may come, whatever it may cost you. Paul wrote about this very concept in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. He says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He's talking about heaven. The glory that we're going to find revealed to us is heaven. And he says, what I'm going through now in this old earth is going to be worth everything that I've had to suffer because of what heaven is and what it's been promised. He wrote again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, then says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." We may go through quite a bit of suffering in our lives on this earth. Could be health issues, could be financial, could be family. The political world could turn upside down and we could really suffer. But even if it lasts our full lifetime, it's only a light affliction, and it's only for a moment. Our lives are but a vapor, according to James, the blinking of an eye, in comparison to the eternity of heaven. So the question that needs to be asked, will heaven be worth it all? Worth everything that you might have to suffer? Not that you're going to suffer, but if you suffer in this earth, is it worth it? Is the promise of heaven what God has told us that heaven is going to be? Is it worth what He requires of us? You see, because one of the things that He requires of us is discipleship. It costs something to be a follower of Jesus Christ. One of the things that it cost us is that we have to come to a realization. Jesus must come first. And I don't want you to sit here and go, "Well, I know that, Jeff. I put Jesus first." Do we really? When we allow the things of the world to interrupt our faithfulness to God? He talks about that He is to come before our own self. We're to deny self. You know, we're studying in Matthew about Christ on the cross. And He would tell in other places throughout the Gospels that you must be willing to bear the cross with Him. Are you willing to do that? Jesus says in Luke 9, verses 23 and 24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." the ideology here is that you have to daily serve the Lord. You have to make sacrifices daily to serve God. Why? Well, heaven is going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth everything that you're willing to sacrifice. You know, I keep saying this over and over and over again, and I hope it's sinking in. And maybe if I say it enough, everybody will get it. It ain't about you. It's about doing what God tells us to do. It's not about putting self first. It's about putting Jesus first and His Father. It's about putting Him before me and what I want. I want a lot of things in this world. Do you? But I want heaven most of all. And I have to be willing to put Christ first before my own wants. I have to be willing to put Christ before anyone else. And I know there's family, there's friends, there's job. Everything is always calling. Can you do this? Can you help me with that? Before anyone else gets on your list of things that you've promised to do, you need to promise your time to Christ. Again, we go back to the book of Luke, and Jesus says in chapter 14, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now that word hate doesn't mean that you despise them and don't want to have anything to do with them. It means that you love them less than you love Christ. But see, that should make sense to us. If I love Christ more than anything else in this world, then naturally the trickle-down effect, if you will, is going to be that I love my family. I'm going to love them enough to try to bring them to Christ. I'm going to love them enough because I love Jesus enough to do whatever I can for my family. So who do you love most? Christ or family? Christ or self? Jesus has to come first, not only before self and anyone else, but before anything that this world has to offer. Oh, but Jeff, it's just an opportunity I couldn't pass up. I had to go for whatever event or whatever thing that the world offered, and I missed services. What are you willing to sacrifice to serve God? Oh, but I'll be there Sunday, or I'll be there Wednesday, but I've got this, that this opportunity came up, and I just can't turn it down. The cost of discipleship is this: Jesus comes first. Before anything that this world has to offer. We go back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 25. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Could you pass up that opportunity and take a chance on losing your soul? Well, no, Jeff, I couldn't pass up on that opportunity. Is it worth forsaking the Lord to gain that opportunity? Is it worth losing your soul? You know, Frank Butler used to tell a joke, and if he told it once, he told it a dozen times, about the preacher that liked to play golf. And I've told you this story, and it makes a good point right here. The preacher went and told the members that he couldn't be there, he was sick. And he went and played golf. He got up, short par 3, hit the ball, goes right in the cup. He makes a hole in one. Yes! Yes! And trust me, if you get a hole in one, at least for me, that would be an accomplishment. But the angel asked the Lord, said, why did you let him have that hole in one? And God looked at the angel and said, who's he going to tell? He told everybody he was sick. What are you willing to profit or lose? Is the question. What are you willing to lie to the brethren and say, I was sick or whatever, and then come to find out, well, yeah, I did go to this thing because it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It was for my kids. It was for my job. What are you willing to lose? What are you willing to give up to gain heaven? Are you willing to lose your soul for that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity? Well, what's heaven? Once-in-an-eternity opportunity? The cost of discipleship is that Jesus must come first. Also, we're going to have to be willing to suffer for Christ. We must be willing to bear our own cross, as has already been alluded to in Luke 14. We live in an ungodly world. People are going to ridicule you for worshiping tonight. You did what? On Sunday night? You know American Idol starts at 7. Why? You missed that to be at church? You were where on Wednesday night? And don't let a gospel meeting come up and they ask you, well, what'd you do on Monday night? You know the Braves played. They had a blowout game. It was a no-hitter. Well, I was at church. What? You go to church all the time. The world doesn't understand serving God. It's one of those things that they just don't get. It's like it goes right over the top of their head because they don't understand the sacrifice, the cost of being a disciple of Christ. But we live in an ungodly world. It's darkness everywhere, spiritual darkness. And you may find that following Christ is going to involve ridicule and possibly even persecution. Are you willing to stand firm? Because you see, heaven is really going to be worth it all. You may find that it involves persecution that could be physical. I hope and pray that it never gets to that point, but you look at the history of the followers of Christ and it has happened in the past. And I'm sure it happens in some places in this world as we're speaking right now. But Peter talks about it, that it could happen. 1 Peter 4. In Luke chapter 6, it talks about that this persecution could just be verbal. You know, there's a lot of people cannot stand to be fussed at. I get it. I don't like being fussed at either. I had enough of it with 3 kids growing up, 2 daughters. Trying to lead the singing, Daddy, you didn't get that right. Daddy, you didn't pitch that right. Daddy, that's not the right tune. Daddy, that tie doesn't match that suit. But, you know, that kind of pales in comparison to when people verbally persecute you for serving the Lord. But there are other things we're going to have to endure for the sake of Christ. There are going to be personal weaknesses that we face in this life where I just feel like I can't do that. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. We don't need an I can't attitude. We don't need this attitude that my personal weakness and my struggle against sin is going to win out. We need to overcome these things. Disappointments are going to overflow our lives. You ever been disappointed? Sure you have. You look at the stock market right now, you're disappointed, aren't you? Has family ever disappointed you? Have your brothers and sisters in Christ ever disappointed you? If you don't raise your hand and say, well, no, you are really blessed. You are truly blessed. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? We are facing disappointments and weaknesses, discouragement. But just know that when you overcome all of those things, heaven will surely be worth it all. In other words, you face failing brethren who are apathetic toward the service of God, and they neglect to produce or they produce nothing more than a slothful service in serving God and following Christ. Those who are irregular at best in their attendance makes it difficult to depend on them. You know, I've heard brethren in business meetings in the past say, well, now, brother so-and-so hadn't been here, let's put him up to serve at whatever, say the table. He'll have to be here at least on Sunday morning, then won't he? Well, that's the wrong reason to ask him to serve. First of all, if he's forsaking the assembly, he's sinning and shouldn't be allowed to serve the congregation. There are those who have an unwillingness to serve, and what that does is it creates extra burdens on those who do and are willing to serve. And then there are those that will disappoint you because all they do is murmur, they complain, and that hinders the efforts of those who are really trying to do something good for the church. But you know, even if you're blessed to never experience these types of things, we still have to be willing to expend our time and effort in promoting the cause of Christ in positive ways. And there's going to be other things that we have to endure to follow Christ for His sake. Sometimes we're going to have to do it alone or with very few people to help us. And sometimes we may be in difficult places where there's not going to be very many, if any, that appreciate the effort that you're putting forward. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Yes, it will. Discipleship is going to cost us something. And as the song suggests, there are things that are going to hinder us, burden us with trials, toils, and tears, and many a heartache. But the Lord tells us through His Word, and we're reminded in this song, that heaven will surely be worth it all. There is a cost to following Christ. And it's implied in this song. It's implied in the Scriptures. But there's also a reward for being a disciple. When Paul would write his letters, he talked about that he was a man who had endured hardship. He wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25, excuse me, he said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 and a night I have been in the deep." And you're going to say, "Well, Jeff, I thought you were talking about the rewards." He's telling you that he was willing to suffer all of this stuff because he looked forward to heaven and the reward that comes with it. He talks in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 1 that he looked forward to a house not made with hands, that heavenly mansion that is promised to those that are faithful. He talked about in Ephesians 2 in verse 7 about the riches of God's grace that are bestowed upon those that are faithful and keep His commandments. He talked in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, about this glorious transformation that all that are faithful will go through when they hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He talked about in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, a crown of righteousness that's waiting for him. And he talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18 about his heavenly kingdom. He says, "The Lord will deliver me from every evil work." Remember what he said earlier in 2 Corinthians 11 about everything, the trials that he'd been through? He says, "The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul wasn't the only one that we can read about. Peter, in his writings, talked about his sufferings as well. He was a man who suffered hardships just like Paul did. And yet he tells us that he too looked forward to to an inheritance that's reserved. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. An inheritance that's imperishable, that is undefiled, that's reserved in heaven. It's there waiting. It's kept in safety. It's being safeguarded by God's hand for us as a reward for faithful discipleship. Heaven's going to be worth it all. Doesn't matter how much you suffer in this life. Doesn't matter how much you go through in this life, many trials and temptations you go through, as long as you shine and come through them, heaven is waiting for us. Peter also talked about in 2 Peter 3, verses 13 and 14, about a new heaven and a new earth. He says, in which righteousness dwells. He said, I'm looking forward to that. Where my mother is buried, and my grandparents on both sides, the Whitworth Cemetery had what's called a decoration today. And it's kind of foreboding, ominous. You go out on a bright, sunshiny day, and I had to do the talk today, and I told them, I said, you know, there's something that all of us have in common. We have loved ones here that have gone on before us. And if they were faithful, like the Hebrew letter describes in chapter 11, Faith's Hall of Fame, and in chapter 12, the first few verses about the great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us to make our path easier. If they were faithful, they know where they'll spend eternity, and they're waiting on us. We have that inheritance waiting on us. We have that new heaven and new earth waiting on us, where righteousness dwells. Heaven is going to be worth anything and everything that you go through in this world. John also wrote about the rewards of discipleship. He was a man who suffered also. He wrote the book of Revelation because of the tribulation that he was going through and being exiled on a rocky island called Patmos. He was put out there because of his preaching the truth by the Romans. And yet in his writings we see that he was blessed because he saw heaven. The bliss of what he saw. The bliss of those who were triumphant over the tribulations that sometimes we get overwhelmed with. Oh, I'm suffering so much. It's just, I have so much holding me back, holding me down. I just don't seem like I can get out from under it. Look at the writers of the New Testament. They got out from under it. And if they can do it, we can too. Because we have the same promise, the hope of heaven. The same promise that heaven will be worth it all. John wrote throughout the book of Revelation about this heaven that he saw, especially in chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. But he tells us in the book of Revelation that when he tells us about the throne room, he said that all the martyrs, the ones that were killed and persecuted, are under the throne singing and asking the Lord, how long, O Lord? But they're singing praises to God for all of eternity. But he talks also in Revelation 21 and 22 that this is the destiny of those that are redeemed, to be forever with God. Forever with God. Is heaven going to be worth it all? Absolutely. When we look at this whole world and how dark it is, spiritually speaking, is there any comparison? Is there anything that we want to compare this world to what heaven is going to be like? You might think, well, Jeff, I've suffered. I've had aches and pains all my life. Me and Sister Josephine, that's what we talk about every Sunday morning between class and preaching, about our aches and pains, our joints hurting, cramps in the legs that wake us up in the middle of the night, our knees locking up, all of these things. But there's no comparison. Because I know that if I live my life faithful right now, all the years of service, even if it's a time of hardship, an eternity in the presence, in the bliss of God's presence, is going to be worth whatever the devil throws at me in this world, heaven will surely be worth it all. We can read the words of Paul and Peter and John, but what if they could stand before you today and speak to us? What if our loved ones who have died after suffering great illnesses or whatever the case may be could return and speak to us today? Don't you think they would tell us that heaven will surely be worth it all? Whatever the cost of following Jesus in this life, go home, read the words of this song, and the promises that the Holy Scriptures talk about and remind us about the comfort to those who are faithful and able and willing to persevere. One final scripture and the lesson's yours. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 10, verses 35 and 36, "Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Have you done the will of God? Have you put Christ on in baptism, because that is the will of God? Have you done that and gone back into the world? Maybe you've given in to the trials and the depression, the disappointments that this world offers. You need to come back to Christ. You need to confess of anything that's separating you from God and re-energize yourself to serve God, because heaven will surely be worth it all. If you're here tonight and you find yourself in need of responding to the invitation, I pray that you'll make